because we left off on Thursday with the very, very beginning of the new sugya, where the Gemara tells us that sometimes a shaila arises and we're not quite sure how to be mishah shishim properly. I think the case the Gemara gives us is probably one of the least likely cases we're going to bump into in terms of our own lives in our kitchens. Mishah of kechal. Next time you have an udder of an animal that just is falling around in your kitchen and falls into your pot of cholin, so you want to know how to be mishah shishim kenegid the cholov. So the Gemara says you can't just make an approximate guess and say, well, I probably have shishim kenegid the milk. Because le'adina kamenafik v'nei, you don't really know how much milk is really in there, how much milk is coming out. And therefore, nebach yapim mishah shishim kenegid the entire kechal. So we pointed out that if you shun above, and what happens to Sapa on the Kula, the whole issue of Kal Sapa Jabon anyway. So we said that for whatever reason, we don't apply Sapa Jabon the Kula here. The Ran says, Lo Tite and Kalecha Taras of the Yadav, who's going to pass in their own Shilas, it's going to be Hefkevel, it'll be anarchy like we have today. So therefore, to avoid that, so we want to make sure that that we're Meshach Shishim properly. But so came the Ramban and extrapolated from this Sugya to something which is much more close to home. Says the Rabban, what would the din be if a person sticks a spoon, a milk spoon, to a fleshy pot, or vice versa, and you realize, Gaval, I just trafed up my chol, just trafed up my chicken soup, what do I do? So I start doing a Shabbat Shishim. Well, how much milk was inside the spoon in the first place? How do you know? There's no way of knowing. So just as the Gemara says that the Khal, there's no real way of knowing, therefore we have to Mishar Mechumra, connect the entire Khal. So too, with the spoon, you have to Mishar connect the entire spoon. Now, when we say the entire spoon, it doesn't necessarily mean the entire spoon, at least the part of the spoon that went in to the pot. Whether you have to reckon some of the other parts of the spoon that didn't go in, that's really a whole other story. At least let's make it simple. Just at least the connector that went into the pot, you have to mishag it, even though between you and me, truth to be told, there's much less milk in there than we really think. There's probably much less milk than the actual volume of the pot, but since there's no way of knowing it, we have to fall back on Archimedes and Eureka's, and we have to do Mishai Kinega, the whole water displacement of the entire part of the spoon. And that's the way it is, as I state in the Ramban. So notwithstanding what the Ramban tells us, there are Rishon who question whether that's true. And the great Rishon who question that is Rabbeinu Yeshaya. So everyone saw in the Sefer Machria, between you and me, whoever heard of a Sefer Machria? Before this, okay, whoever heard of Rabbeinu Yeshaya? The Tesis read. So he also wrote a Sefer called Sefer Machria. So Baruch Hashem is one copy in the Mishmash. So in the Sefer HaMachria, Rabbeinu Yeshaya takes on this view of the Ramban, and again, it predated the Ramban. The Ramban didn't make this up. He already quoted it from early Rishonim. Rabbeinu Yeshaya goes head on against this entire theory, and he basically says that you cannot extrapolate from the Chal Gemara to cases of spoons. The Chal didn't come enough to be there. I agree. The Gemara says, there's no way of knowing it. I suppose there are ways to test it. There are ways to know. The Cheshbin, the Kalimun, gives you the Benetis, scientific experiments. I don't know. You stick a spoon to a box, you have much milk left. Good thing, not there. It gives you a whole razzle dazzle show how to try to figure it out in the world of the laboratory. Maybe you could be Mishaya. And therefore, Mishaya says that the Ramban's conclusions that every case of sticking in spoons is the halakha equivalent of Chal is just not correct. Says Rabbi Yeshaya, I'm not going to argue with the Rabban in the laboratory. I'm going to argue with him from the laboratory of the Gemara. I'm going to show clearly there are Gemaras, one Gemara, two Gemaras, three Gemaras, that clearly all indicate in the same direction that the din is that if and when you have a tarobus of spoons or pots, things of that nature, we can make an estimated guess and figure out approximately how much is in there, and the halacha is comfortable with that evaluation. And there is no such halacha called tzach l'shar b'kula. So the Rabbeinu Yeshaya takes on the Ramban's theory, that has ultimately been accepted by Rova Rishonim and made into Shulchan Aruch, and the Yeshaya dissented and said it's not true. And each one of his rayas are fascinating, because each one of his rayas touch upon things that we spoke about in the past. Each one of his rayas has to be understood. Are they good rayas? Can we deflect the rayas? Each one speaks to us in terms of Claude and Eusebius, we've been talking about it, we didn't talk about it, Luka didn't talk about it. So let's see if we can look at the Sugya through the eyes of Benishai. Who had a chance to read through the Benishai? The Sefer Machria was fairly long. Let's see if we can analyze this. So comes to Benishai with Raya number one to support his theory that the Kli is not the same as a Chal. Chal is a problem, the point is not necessarily a problem. Says it in Yeshaya. Abim Raya, if I'm better than a Gemara. Better. What could possibly be better than a Gemara?
Nothing.
Better.
Possibly.
Nothing. Mishnah, maybe. Stronger than a Gemara. What could be better than a Mishnah? Suppose with Chumash, right? I mean, you can't get more than that. Chumash, talking about Sam, right? Come on, the word, the Dvar Hashem. I'm not saying the Gemara is not the Dvar Hashem, but it's still, you know, the Apostle is a Pasuk. It comes to Benishai, bring your rifle. What's the Pasuk? The Pasuk tucked away in Pashas where? Pashas Matas. Torah says, they went out to conquer the Nijonim, they walked away with the booty, all the spoils, they walked away with pots, and they walked away with spoons, they walked away with all kinds of different things. But what does the Torah say? What do you have to do? You have to do what? What do you have to do? Before you tell me what you have to do? There's a kasha there. And a kasha, the Torah gives you two models. There's the model of Hagola, there's the model of Libur. So great, the model of Hagola, very simple. Very, very easy solution to the problem. What do? You fill it up with boiling water, you throw all the kelim inside, and call it a day. Okay, great, wonderful. Okay? Okay, here's your question. How exactly are you going to do a Hagola? Every Hagola has a problem built into it. Who remembers the problem? There's an inherent problem in every Hagola. Who remembers? Huge problem. What goes out goes right back in again. So every time you do a Hagola, you have to always reckon with that concern. The Tom is going to go into the water of the Hagola, and it's going to go right back into the clean. It's going to retrace with me again. You're going to be back to where you started from. That is an intrinsic problem. Every Hagola has to reckon with that problem. How do you solve that problem? The easiest way to solve that problem is through Shishim, right? That's the easy solution to the problem. Just make sure that the pot that you're using, instead of using this tremendous, tremendous pot, and fill it all the way up to the gills of the water. And I want to run one little fork, and it's way, way, way bottled by 500 times of water to a little bit of fork. So all the bleas come shooting out of the fork, become bottled in the water, go back into the filling, yeah, but it's all bottled anyway. So it's bottled by elef alfei elofim. That's the easiest solution to the problem. Okay? Anyone have any other solutions to the problem? Oh, I knew you were going to say that. I set you up for that. So Kirsch tells me you're going to wait 24 hours, right? So you're in the Midbar right now. Let's put ourselves back 3,500 years ago, okay? You're in the Midbar. Elazar HaKohen just presents to us these dinim. You have Elazar HaKohen, right? He says over these dinim, Chashetiv HaShem is Moshe. These are the dinim that Moshe Rabbeinu was told in Har Sinai, the dinim of Hagolah Libur. So Kirsch is going to get up and going to ask a kasha. He's going to raise the question, wait a second, Rabbi Elazar HaKohen, with Dinim Rabbeinu, how are we going to do a Hagolah? It's going to be what comes out is going to go back in again. So you're going to say, no, it's okay. We're just going to wait 24 hours. Bad answer. Why bad answer? Because you have 24 hours. You don't have to bother kashrut anymore. Why? Because lo asra what? Lo asra tayr ela. K'dei basirna.
Gzera.
I'm in the midbar. Gzera is the rabbanim. I'm in the midbar, right? I'm trying to learn a parasha in Chumash. So I'm learning a parasha in Chumash, and I want to know what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu have in store for us? What did Allah Zerkain have in mind when he transmitted this parasha from Moshe Rabbeinu and was given to Har Sinai, the parasha of Kasher and Kalim? So you're going to tell me, wait a second, there's a built-in kasha, what goes out there to go back in again? And you're going to tell me the solution is wait 24 hours. That's not the solution. Because Minat Torah, if you wait 24 hours, you don't have to bother kasher in the first place. Because it's all nothing to have. So the real answer is that I want a kasha, I want to use this fork tonight for dinner. So the real answer is the Mashishim, right? Good. So that's a wonderful solution, if what? If you want a kasha, a little tiny what? A little tiny fork. What do I want a kasha pot? I want a kasha the pot itself. So what am I going to do? So I'm going to kasha the pot. So all the bleas, I'm going to fill the pot up with the water, I'm going to turn on the fire. All the bleas are going to come shooting out of the, here's the thickness of the wall of the pot. All the bleas are going to come shooting out into here, shooting out into here, shooting out into here, shooting out into here. And what am I going to need to solve my problem? I need shishim, right? I need shishim in the water, connected what? Connected all the bleas. Well, I don't know how much bleas there are. Why? Because I looked at Gemara in Chulin that told me that whenever you don't know how many bleas are, what do you have to be Mashiach connected? The entire volume, the entire water displacement. What would that mean here? So the entire thickness of the pot, I have to make a cheshbon. How thick is this pot? How much water would this pot displace? And now I have to make sure I have 60 times of water inside the pot corresponding to the thickness of the walls of the pot. What is the problem with that? That is an impossibility, okay? that we assume that our engineers have tried for 3,500 years to try to construct pots in such a way. We haven't figured out a way to do it yet. It seems to be impossible. It seems to be that there is a built-in premise in our understanding of engineering of pots, is that you can never, ever get shishim over the volume of the water to neged the actual thickness of the entire pot. So therefore, when Yeshayah turns around and says, hey, wait a second, how in the world can you ever kasher a pot? So what's the solution to the problems of Rabbi Yeshayah? Again, easy solution. What's the solution? Says Rabbi Yeshayah, who says you need shishim connected to all the walls of the pot? All you really need shishim is connected what?
Spoon.
All you really need is shishim connected to bleas. You don't know how much bleas are in there? Well, figure it out. Make an estimate. Make a guesstimate. Try to figure out. Use some common sense. Use some physics and chemistry to figure out how many bleas are really inside the walls of the pot. So if you're going to tell me that we have to earn the sign of caution and the Mishai can negate the entire thickness of the pot, our engineers have already reported back to us it's impossible to do our role in that matter. Says the Mishai, the Torah says to do our role. The Torah says the show must go on. The Torah says you can do our role. Zemin from God, licked in that parasha is the understanding that you are not being Mishai to negate the entire walls of the pot. Lohoyut Variyah. Who told us you have to be Mishai to the whole wall of the pot? Who made that up? The Mishai is Klay Teras, who made it up the Ramban. Says the Mishai, it's not true. Lohoyut Variyah. Does the equation say a lack thereof? Please, not like Kchal. Kchal you can't figure out. You can't figure out. And therefore, since it is feasible to figure out what the real emissive number is, we don't have to artificially inflate this number to make it to be corresponding to the thickness of the entire wall. We just go with the real emissive believers we honestly believe are. Therefore, it is perfectly legitimate to be machshir a pot by simply saying, I fill it up with water, I have shishim, and I'm good to go. That was Rabbi Yeshayah's raya. Hold the phone. So Rabbi said, this is not the first time we've seen this idea thrown at us. What do you think the Ramban would respond to this? The Ramban was floored by this raya. What would the Ramban say? Raya number one. Raya number one is. Agola. The Kederos. How do you kasher a pot? Must be a raya that you don't have to take into consideration the whole thing, just the bleas themselves. What would the Ramban say? Wrong. I'll tell you how to kasher a pot. How to kasher a pot? Put it into what?
A bigger pot.
Sean, that's the solution. Says Ramban, take a bigger pot. What would Rabbi Yeshayah say to that? What would Rabbi Yeshayah say? What would he ask kashers? And how do you kasher what? The bigger pot. And what would Ramban say? You take a
bigger
pot. And what would Rabbi Yeshayah say? And how do you kasher? The bigger pot. And what would Ramban say? And eventually you reach the point where you got the biggest, fattest possible pot around in the history of the world. And you're trying to scratch your head how to cash it out clean. So Rabbi Yeshayah says, you see I'm right? That at some point the buck stops here. You want to tell me the pot is this big. I don't care. Eventually you got a pot that feeds 10,000 people for short. Whatever. Eventually you're going to reach the point of the biggest possible pot. There's nothing bigger to put it into. And now you're going to have to tell me how to cash it. And I have the solution, says Rabbi Yeshayah. The solution is based on the Ramban's misunderstanding of this equation. The equation is not true. The Kli is not like Kal. The Kli can be ascertained properly. And therefore, there's no reason to extend the Chum of Kal to Kli. That was the Tosfos Reader. That was Rabbi Yeshayah's ultimate riot from the biggest super-duper-duper-duper enormous path. To which, what do you think the Ramban would respond? How many different ways can we respond, according to the Ramban?
How are you getting this amount? How are you measuring the bleas that need to be?
Well, you already see Kasha and Rabbi Yeshayah. I'm trying to deflect the riot from the Rabbi Yeshayah has a great scientific method of how to figure out bleas. He mastered it, he patented it, he's figured out a way to do it. Okay, the Ramban says it's impossible, you can't do it. The Rabbi Yeshayah says, I'm proving you it has to be able to be done, because if it wouldn't be able to be done, then you'd be left with this impossible phenomenon called not being able to kasha your biggest pot. So what do you think the Ramban would respond to that? You think the Ramban would lose sleep over that? What do you think the Ramban would say?
Yeah. Wasn't talking
about a case. Yeah, so who says that already? Tosfos already said it. Tosfos back in the morning. Tosfos later on. Tosfos says, come on. How come I see that? You're right. The Torah wasn't talking about the biggest pot. It was talking about a big pot. But not the biggest. But enough now, it's a super duper biggest pot than an E.F. Shalahakshir. So whereas Rabbi Yeshayah brought a raya that there can't be a case that's impossible to kasher, every problem must have a solution. Tosfos and the Rambam would say, it's not true. Not every problem has to have a solution. Do we have any other ways to be Dechel Araya? Any other creative ways to be Dechel Araya? Obviously, that's not a creative way. What?
The multiple
Hagolos. Multiple Hagolos. Who made up multiple Hagolos? Tosfos. Tosfos already, of course, already said there's another way to solve this dilemma called multiple Hagolos. How does it solve the problem? Very simple. You start there with Machshir. So some of the Bliyas come out. They probably don't all come out. Some of them will come out. Eventually, they'll all come out. But then some of them go back in. Some do, some don't. So you, whatever little bit went in, I used to have, let's say for example here, I have 60 ounces of water, okay? So I used to have bleas of 2 worth, right? So I did have shishim. What happens? I do one hagola, so some goes out, some goes back in, some goes back out, some goes back in. And now, after doing it once, what do I have? Now maybe I have bleas left inside of 1.5. I'm still shy of 60. So do it another time. I get myself down to 1.2. I'm going, right, the numbers are going down. I do it a third time and I'm down to 0.9. Good. Baruch Hashem, yom yom, times 60, shishim. Our math majors have told us we have shishim, we're good to go. So this was Tosfos' theory of multiple hagolas. So Mr. Rabbeinu Yishai would turn around to the Ramban and say, the Ramban would turn around to Rabbeinu Yishai and say, your raya is not a raya. Even the biggest pot can be kashable. So first of all, the Ramban would say, maybe in a chanam you can't kash the biggest pot. And if you want to tell me that every problem has to have a solution, I have a solution here all. They're also called multiple kashers. So what was the downside of the multiple kashers? Who remembers? Which great Rishon had serious reservations with multiple kasherings? Come on, Chazar, guys. Rabbeinu Tam had big problems with it. Why? Because according to Rabbeinu Tam, Chaticha Nasas Nevela Bishari Surim, therefore, when a little bit of the bleas comes into the water, it's not multiple shishim. Oy, 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 what just happened?
Water.
All the water just became draped, and guess what? The clock starts all over again. The numbers start again. And you do it again, and you have a perpetual trefus machine. You just created an impossible. You can't get off this this treadmill. Just keep on going. It won't stop. Because every time you keep on kashering, you're adding more bleas to the water. The water becomes trefus, goes back in, out, etc. So this is not a good solution, right? Well, it's a good solution in one of two things. You may want to fall back on who?
Rabbeinu
Ephraim is always a good place to fall back on. Or what? Or maybe, this whole Chatikah Nasveh B'Shar Surim is only what? Chumud Rabban anyway, maybe the rice, it's okay. Unlike that Tosfos, unlike the Rishon, you're right. Like which great Rishon said that way?
Moran.
So you can already begin to see this Rabbeinu Yishai's Raya and the refutation of Rabbeinu Yishai's Raya and the back and forth and give and take, is this a good Raya, not a good Raya, touches on so many different things. It touches upon the issue of, is there a problem without a solution? It touches upon, is multiple kasher a good solution? Do you buy into Rabbeinu Tam or Rabbeinu Ephraim? Either do you buy into Rabbeinu Tam, deraisa, derabanan? So a lot of things going into the Rabbeinu Yishai's Raya. You know, Rishon brings a Raya, and the Ramban is not more, you know, doesn't have conservative Raya. You have to understand why this is or is not a good Raya. Of course, the entire Raya is all working with the premise that Tosfos worked with also. Everyone remember the premises? Premises of what goes out, goes back in again. Do you remember which great Rishon denied that? I said in a very, very quick passage back in September. There's one Rishon that says the whole Tosfos is Lohan from here. That what goes out stays out. Doesn't go back in. Water is not, so it's not really not necessarily. Do you know who that Rishon was? Well, that hadn't been Ramban. It just as an aside. Okay, but hopefully we'll get to that later on. Okay, nothing. So, like I said, so we have the first ride from Agolah of Kedaris. So what do we say about the Raya? We say the Raya is loaded, packed with Rabbeinu Ephraim, and Rabbeinu Tam, and Tosfos, and Ran. So much goes into the pros and cons of this Raya. Any other rides? Who saw the second round of Rabbeinu Yishai?
I think the Ramban contained the multiple Hagolos. Like, you know, if you never know what's inside, how do you know when it gets too small?
Yeah, well, I mean, eventually you're going to reach a point where it's got to be. I mean, it's logic. It's got to be pretty low. You do it a few times, kind of, you know. Say, even though Ramban would be comfortable at some point.
Isn't that still going to lead to the Torah being Muslim to every person's
family? Yeah, okay, and the Torah could be the Chacham that wouldn't want to set up a system like that, but the Torah would be okay. Torah trusts us. The Ramban would trust us. Okay, Rabbi Sai, next Raya. Who's got the next Raya? Who saw Rabbeinu Yishai inside? Next Raya. Famous Gemara, Kedei Rewat, Kedei Shabi Shabawat. No, let's hear it. There should be shema basa lo yivasha b'cholov. If you have a fleshy pot, you're not allowed to use it to cook milk in it. V'im bishel gavalt kishrigin. What? No. V'im bishel be No remembrance. The beginning was last week already. Have your mitzvah is not a hetta to be forget. What? Then be shall raise up in Eisin Tam. If you went ahead with the evidence and you cook, kaval, so the remaining milk now depends on Eisin Tam. What does that mean, Harezeb and Eisin Tam? How are you going to check whether it's Eisin Tam? I have a big pot, a fleshing pot, and I cooked milk in the fleshing pot. Harezeb and Eisin Tam. How am I ever going to know whether there's Eisin Tam in the milk? So the answer is very simple. Make a calculation of Shishim. Wait a second, says Rabbi Yeshaya. How much meat is going into this pot of milk right now? How much meat is going into this this macaroni and cheese? So if the Ramban is right, then how much meat is in the, do we have to reckon with? You have to mishar keneged what? If the Ramban's right, you have to mishar keneged what? Keneged kulo, keneged the entire pot. If the Ramban is really truly right, so then what's going to happen? It is impossible to ever say that it's going to be mutter. How can the Brice that raise a bit of Santan be check it out and see? Yes, Shishim, this Shishim. What do you mean, yes, Shishim, this Shishim? You will never have Shishim because our engineers in the pottery world have told us that you cannot have a pot that the contents have more than Shishim of the walls of the pot. So, Zeman from Dos is Rabbi Yeshaya. From the fact that Chazal didn't say, Hareza Asur. If the Brice, Chazal knew how to say Asur. They wanted the Rabbi knows to say Asur. Once the Asur knows how to say Asur. The Brice says, Hareza bin Asantan, to be determined, check it out. Right, figure it out. Do the math. What do you mean do the math? What do I do the math for? The math is always going to be working against me if Ramban's chesed is right. That means the doses of being shy, it's not true. The math will not necessarily be against you because if you have shishim connected to bleas, which is a possibility, I'm not saying it always going to be that way, but it is a very real possibility. Since there's a possibility of shishim connected to bleas, that is good enough. That's fine. That's okay. And we're comfortable with that. And that's what the bright means that raised the minister. The Ramban is right, and the Braisa leaves us hanging. Hareza ben Eisin Tam, the Braisa just said Hareza also. Kaval the Garaya. Kadera, Shabishel, Babosa. No, what do you think? I think the Ramban would deflect his Raya. There's the Rosh Pesay to defend the Ramban. Look what deflection. This is a good Raya, no? Really? Kedere Shabishwa Bosa raised a bit of Eisin Tam. What do you think that means? How do you run the Eisin Tam test? What did Rabbi Yishai stick in? How did he run a test for Eisin Tam? Shishim. Really? That's the Eisin Tam test? Oh, what's the Eisin Tam test? Bring the guy. The guy with the big funny white fluffy chef's hat. Bring in the kfeila. Nebuch. We are living in a world post Reb Gvega, post Ravah. We're living in a world where we don't even know how to do kfeilas anymore. We don't trust the kfeilas. We're not sure what to do with kfeilas. The kfeilas don't know how to taste things. So Nebuch, no rabbi today in his right mind would ever bring in a kfeila. So we fall back on Shishim. But Medina the Gemara, Shishim was the afterthought. Shishim was, oh, by the way, if all else fails, you can't get your kfeila going, then Nebuch, what can we do? We'll give you the option of Shishim. So when the Brice of the Hilge Tanoim said, they meant Shishim? They didn't mean Shishim, says the Rashba. They meant Hareza ben Eisin Tam. Namely what? Have the goy come and taste it. So didn't Rabbi Yishai realize that? That the Braisa didn't mean Shishim, the Braisa meant a goy. And if a goy says it's Taka, okay, it's okay. What if he was bothering Rabbi Yishai? Rabbi Yishai was saying, what do you mean the goy is going to come and tell you he doesn't taste it? Well, we know this time here. How do we know this time here? Because we know that there's no what? We know there's no shishim here. We know a fact, our engineers have told us, there is no shishim here. If there is no shishim here, we know that there must be tam. And if we know there must be tam, then the goy is a liar. So I don't care whether he's a Masich Levitumo, he's a Umdanavsha, he's a liar. He's a shakran through and through. Because we have inside information that there's no shishim here. What do you think the Ramban and the Rashi would respond to that? You have no, your inside information doesn't exist. You don't know that you don't have shishim here. You know that you don't have shishim kineged what?
Kedopa.
But even you agree that it's very possible there's less than shishim. And we don't know what the bleas are. We have no idea what the number of bleas are. Never, you have to be machmir that because we a lot of people in you have to be shak kineged the whole pot. But in the world of reality, it could be this shishim. So the guy's not necessarily a liar. Let's trust the guy. So that's what the Ramban and the Rosh would turn around to Ben Yishai and say, "Pillar, what kind of raya is that?" The Brice says, "A raya is Ben Yishai Tam." Asma. The Rebbe Yishai was assuming that the test is going to be shishim, and everybody else says wrong, the test is going to be kfeila. So we're 0-2. So far, Rebbe Yishai does not have any convincing raya from anything, neither from a pasuk nor from a braisa. He doesn't give up. He's going in chronological order. He started with the raya from a pasuk, deflected the raya. The raya from a braisa, deflected that. Bring a raya from a gemara. Right? Our best thing, best raya, right? Raya from gemaras. Who saw the third raya of Rebbe Yishai? Just a little tour through Maseches Chulin and Pesachim. Who saw the third Rav Ben Yishai? Rav's famous statement. I'm a Rav. Kederos with Pesach Yishpul. What a loaded statement Rav said. You have to break all your pottery. Every Pesach, you have to break all your china. I got to buy new china. Why should I buy new china? I break the old china. So we have, all the china has to be broken. Kederos with Pesach Yishpul. Why? How many things went into Rav's statement? I'm a Rav. Kederos with Pesach. Every year you got to break the china. Why? Let me bring a chair. How many things did Rav hold to come to that conclusion? A lot of things. He had to be very worried about what problem? Chometz of Avor Pesach. Because what he's worried about is that all the bleias of chometz that are inside the walls of the pot that are now going to come out inside the china, they're not going to come out after Pesach, and they're going to trafe up all my food. So he's very, very worried about chometz of Pesach, even the taroifas. Right? Because it's not Mamish a piece of bread. It's not like I'm buying a box of crackers from the makot. I forgot to sell the hummus. I'm eating things. I'm eating a pot of potato soup after a week after Pesach, which has bleias of mixed in of a tarayvus and chamish over Pesach. Now, between you and me, would we lose any sleep over this? We couldn't care less about this problem. Why not? Because we pasuk like who? We pasuk like Shmuel, like Rabbi Shimon, who says that what the chamish over Pesach is not nisa derais anyway. It's only in the Rabbanu Mishum Knas, and therefore the Knas was only instituted if it's the end, not if it's idea terror. Did we talk about this? Vaguely? Okay? So to Rav, who passed like which Tana, I told you this because of our first. Rav, who passed like which Tana says, Chom Shom Pesach, because there Isa, who's that? Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's bound by the regular rules, and Tarev is maybe a problem. So Rav Lishitosa, who followed Rabbi Yehuda, said that Tarev is Chom Shom Pesach is also a problem. And to make matters even worse, Rav is not just a taroivus man, but he happens to hold that if I'm going to cook some of this chomesh over Pesach into min b'mino, that's going to be a royal disaster, the utmost. Why? Because what else does Rav subscribe to? Rav holds, by the way, just as an aside, min b'mino lobotel, like what other Tana? By God, Rav Yehuda has a whole different shorach here. Rav Yehuda's kitchen is a very, very different kitchen than my kitchen. Rav Yehuda's kitchen is asering tarevus chomesh over Pesach midaraisa. Rav Yehuda's asering midaraisa in the Rest of Cairo's Shulchan Aruch, in his kitchen, his Rebbetzin's kitchen, none of that applies. None of that's true. But again, Rav was a Rav Yehuda person. And then, to make matters even worse, Rav was even super duper duper machmir. Because after all, isn't this all what? This is all in a Ben Yom already. Hasn't a whole week passed already? Since we used chomets last, what's the answer? Rav probably holds what else? Is also like who? All of a sudden, who came to haunt us now? Now Rabbi Meir comes to haunt us. Rabbi Meir is the one who said that the Nostalgic Gam is also. So even Kederis after Cain, Usher Terah, Philip Kederis Shein Abbas Yomah, Cain. So if you start to put together a lot of chumers, this is really, really chumers. This is like one yeshivish chumers, another chumers, another chumers. Right? You combine that all these chumers. So Rav says, "Amarav Kederis Pesach Yishpuru." If any one of these statements are wrong, so then the whole thing that we can salvage all the china. But Rav believed the Cholev, that Mimbabino is Mimashu, Tarev is Chomshu, Pesach is also Bidaraisa, and the Tavuk Kam is also Bidaraisa. Everything combines together to spell absolute disaster. All China is gone. I'm a Rav Kedir's Pesach. So the Gemara begins to question Rav. The Gemara says, really? Isn't that a little extreme? To throw out all the China? Come on, all the China. I understand that you can't use the China for Mimbabino. That I get. That I understand. Because Bibi Bidal Lobot, or Rabbi Yehuda, right? Damapar, Damasar, we know about that. Ron's a snack this man. We know about that already. But, Velevet Lahu, what is the Gemara Eskim Sachem? No? Fekti Makashi, Velevet Lahu, Shaloah? Shaloah Bimino. Why can't we just salvage the china and use it for Shaloah Bimino? So we won't cook something that would be equivalent to Bibi Bimino. We'll cook potato soup. It's mimishinu anyway. What's the big deal? So why does Rav make such a to-do in smashing china, smashing the smithereens, because of the problem of Bimbimina Bimashu, why don't you just use it Shalai Bimino? And everything's great. And what's the big deal? So a little bit of chametz is going to come out. So what? It's going to be bottled anyway. So Gemara says, Yitaka, right? It's a good question. Better question than answer. What's the Gemara's answer? Why did Rav say such a radical statement of Kedesh Pesach Yishperu? But I'm sorry, there was no reason to break. You could use it with Shalom Amino, but why? Gozer what? Shema. Shema what? Shema Yishtamish B'mino. Did I put the Gemara in the Mamakarmas? No, didn't there have any Shai quote this Gemara? Didn't he quote this Gemara? Anyone look it up? Didn't we talk about this Gemara in the past?
Yeah.
Okay. In the back of the Oz and the Rashbas, right? Didn't we talk about this way, way back in the old days? So Kagan, the flow of the Gemara. So Rav says, Kliyas Pesach Yishpul. Because if you use it for Min Bamino, you're up to Greek. Correct the Gemara, let's use it Min Bishayin. I mean, it wasn't Yitaka, right? You really should. The only reason is, Gezeira Otomino. Fine, finish, end of discussion. No? What's the Rav for Ben Yishayin? Gentlemen from the Gemara, wow, what do you see from this Gemara? That Me'ikar Hadin, if not for the Gezeira, what should the Din have been? There should be nothing wrong with taking a pot that has bleas of chametz in it. That's got bleas galore of chametz. It's got chametz, chametz. No problem. Just cook up a pot of min b'she'en omino, potato soup, and set the gumbor. Some of it's coming out. It's bottle anyway. It's going to be bottle anyway. No big deal, right? Everything's going to be bottle. Everything's great. I mean, the rabbanon don't do it because there you may use it for mino. But Meikar Adin, Min HaTorah should be okay. And Lula Dixer would have been Mutal Lugamer, even Lechachila. Stop, says the Mishnah. There's an Issa Deraisa here. What's the Issa Deraisa? What's the Issa Deraisa here? Who was the Gemara kidding in Puta? What did the Gemara mean in Puta? What's the Issa Deraisa, no? What?
How's the bottle?
How's the bottle? I have chametz coming out of here. I got bleas of noodles coming into my potato soup. What has to be mevatalit? Mimimino is not bottle. Mimishin amino is bottle. If when? If you have what?
Shishim.
If you have shishim. If you don't have shishim, you have nesin dam. You have a potential problem deraisa in your hands, maybe. Time to be deraisa. So what is the Gemara talking about? Why did the Gemara even dream to say, V'levet lehu shaloi b'mino, and say it's okay? Why are you breaking the pots? The Gemara says, Yitaka, right? You really shouldn't have to break the pots, Mikra, and then. What are the Gemara's dreaming? What is the Gemara's having? Why does Hanamina, it should be okay? Didn't the Gemara realize that the chometz that's talu in the wall of the pots is not bottle of a shishim? What's the answer? You know, Ben Yishaya? It's only not bottle of a shishim if you take whose method of reckoning shishim and pots? You take the Ramban's method and every clear that and therefore the idea coming off of Bunei, and therefore we suffer, we have to Mishaya Kinega the entire thickness of the walls. So Takarai, because the engineers have told us that a pot full of potato soup is not going to have shishim Kinega the contents, Kinega the thickness of the walls. That is correct. So if the Ramban is right, then the Gemara Misacha makes no sense. The whole Shabbatai of the Gemara Misacha is Mamish Levatola. It's completely off. It should have been a problem. It should have had a flag down. It's an Issa Deraisa to do such a thing. Says Rabbi Yishaya, Zetman from the Gemara's Kash of the Gemara's Pilpul and Tzach of the Flamed, that it must be Chazal understood right away that you do not have to Mishaya Kinega the thickness of the wall. All you have to do is Mishaya Kinega the what? The Bliyas. And what's the answer? You probably what? Probably do have Shishim. And the Gemara says, you're right, you probably do have shishim. And the only reason why we have to be chayshesh is because if it will let you get away with using it for potato soup, then you may use it for other things which may be min b'mino, and that's going to be a problem with the rice because min b'mino in a botel, i.e. Rabbi Yehuda and Rav's people. So says in the Shaya, I discovered the third raya. The whole sugi of Kederus for Pesach Yishperu is a raya brewer to what I'm saying. And for the fact that the Gemara asked the kasha, the kushas a Gemara, right, the levad shalom b'mino. Levad shalom b'mino. Wow, what do you mean? Where's the bit of b'shishim? The answer is there is. And what's the answer for the Ramban?
Everything that we attacked in the beginning.
Everything. What? Where's the answer?
We attacked Rav in the beginning. We just said Rav was totally wrong. Correct.
Yeah, we don't accept Rav's sheet about Rabbi Yehuda. We don't accept the sheet about Chazal Pesach. We don't accept that, but. Just because you don't accept three things that a person says doesn't mean all the other things he holds by. Rav holds you can't drive a car on Shabbos. We accept that because everyone agrees to him on that. So we have no reason to believe anyone disagrees with that fundamental yisod that you make a cheshbon based on bli, is not based on the whole thickness of the pot. So if we could prove from Rav that Rav subscribed to the Tosfos Rid, that's a raya against the Ramban. So there's a Tosfos in Maseches Brachot. The Tosfos writes in that sugya that the bli is inside a wall of a chometz thick pot, are not that much. It's only a ma'asher. You never really have to be worried about too many bleas inside a chametz thicker pot. You know why? Ain't derech b'kach to put too much chametz into a pot. It was never too much chametz into a pot in the first place. It's only when you chesh bring out ma'asher, which Rav was worried about, that raises a red flag. Otherwise, nothing to worry about. What's this Yotara? What is this? Basically, Tosfos is reporting about the eating habits back in the days of the Gemara. They did not eat what? They didn't eat pasta. They weren't cooking oatmeal in pots. What did they use pots to cook for?
Soup.
What went in the soup? Meat, water, a couple of vegetables. That's all they used for pots. What made this pot chametz in the first place? What's the answer? Every once in a blue moon, someone threw in a crouton. Every once in a blue moon, someone threw in some chametz. Very, very small amount. Highly unlikely. Doesn't seem to be the standard that Chazal were referring to. And therefore, says Tosfos, the only reason why the Gemara is talking the language of Min Bevita B'mashu, why did the Gemara call this Nosin Tam? Why does the Gemara say Kedir Sopesach is Mashu? Why is it Mashu? It's much more than Mashu. The answer is Chazal, obviously, were describing cooking habits that are not the same as today. And the cooking standards of Chazal, it was Takamashu. Tosfos, again, I wouldn't say it, but Tosfos said it. So we just solved the problem. So we have no riots for Rabbeinu Yeshaya, and therefore we have no riots for Rabbeinu Yeshaya. We don't have any riots against Rabbeinu Yeshaya, but we have now the running up by just Ramban or Rabbeinu Yeshaya. What's the difference? Like Chal, not Chal. What's the answer by sight? In Shulchan Aruch, Rabbeinu Yeshaya's opinion is not even quoted as the Yesh Omer. Didn't even make it into the page. And I'll tell you a secret. Not only did not make it into the page, didn't even make it as into the Beis Yosef, not even as a discussion. I don't even think anyone even had the Rabbeinu Yeshaya. There's only one copy in the Rabbeinu Yeshaya. There was no copy when they said it. Rabbeinu Yeshaya disagreed. Three rise from Rabbeinu Yeshaya, all three refuted by the Ramban and the Rashba. Rabbeinu Yeshaya doesn't make it. However, he does make a little bit of a comeback in the following. Comes the Ramban and says, we all know, Gemara says, like Chal, you have to be shy, connect the whole Chal, but it didn't come enough. And therefore, our equation from Kli to Chal is 100% accurate. Says the Ramban, Belishim Suffolk. You have to be shy, connect the entire Kli. That's the din, says the Ramban, says the Nash, says the Ran, says the Nisha, says the Shulam, Belishim Suffolk. However, comes the Ramban himself and quotes a Ravid, a dissenting view. What's what the Ravid said? Anyone read the Ramban? Look at the Ramban, the Ramban Kamas. Quotes the Ravid, no one saw the Ravid? What does the Ravid say? It says, Bamed Devar Mamurim, that you have to be Mishai Kenegan the whole Kli. That's if the Kli is a what? Nobody saw the Ramban?
No. The second.
Matzosi sharayvid zalomar. Second of Mamakos. Tchi amrinon b'didei misharinon. When do we say you have to mishai kenegad ol kli? Hani mil b'davish en chozul hater harishon li'olam. That's something that there's no way to ever bring it back to being mutter. You're going kedera or chal different gifsos here. The nasas he atzba chaticha di sura. What did the Ravid say? The Ravid says, yeah, the Ramban is right that sometimes we're Mishar Bekulo, but only those kinds of items that are not salvageable. that are not kasherable. Can you give me a material that's not kasherable? What could ever be kasher? Teres. Teres says befeirush. Teres, ki, where's the Teres made that Teres can be kasher? Who knows? We state the Ken Kasher China. Where does it say Ken Kasher Teres? There are two parshas of kasher in the Teres. One is in Parshas Matos. That's where it says it has. There's another parsha. Where's the other parsha of kasher in Teres? Where else does the Torah speak about the process of kasher and teva? Parshas Tzav. The Torah says if you have a korban chatas, and if you cook korban chatas in a pot, what do you have to do with that pot? You have a big problem, because what's the problem, no? Mabaya. What's the problem? If I cook a korban chatas in a pot, or any korban for that matter, what's the problem with the pot? Korban chatas is kosher. What's the problem? So it's kosher. I'll use it for kutchin. Do my kutchin pot, a brisket pot. What's the problem?
No, sir.
What?
No, sir.
Yeah, it's going to become no, sir. But tomorrow it's going to all be no, sir. So all the bleeds inside the wall, the pot of the tray, the nice chav kares. So if I cook potato soup with that pot tomorrow, I'll give out the shrigan. So what does the Torah say? The Torah says, we clean the choshes bushala. If you use the copper pot, a metal pot to cook in, umorak, Vishutaf, Amayim. You have to kasher it. You have to boil up water in it. You have to wash it out. Clean it. You have to kasher it. So the Torah gives you a second parasha of kashering Kalim. So in Parashas Matos, the Torah speaks about kashering treif for Kalim. In Parashas Tzav, the Torah speaks about kashering kotchim to Kalim, which became, in a sense, treif through Noiser. In that parasha, Parashas Tzav, the Torah also speaks about what if you cooked in a klicheres, in an earthenware pot. So anyone about kares here? Uklicheres. Asher tevushal bo, yishaver, you have to break it. V'im b'chli, nechoshes, v'shal, v'rak, v'shutaf, b'vayim, if it was cooked in a metal pot, then you have to kasher, okay? Chumash, we should stop with chumash, it's not easy. Kasher, shumash, stop, okay? If I say, tli cheres, the Torah says, cannot be kasher, unlike a kli nechoshes, that can be kasher. The Gemara says, a Torah he'idah tli cheres, the Torah has testified that kli cheres can never be cleaned out, can never be kasher the gam, right? And that din that was originally said by kochim now spills over, now carries over to the chul, carries over to treifus as well. So you can't kasher china, etc. Maybe it's halacha like cheres, earthenware can never be kasher. Fine. So comes the rabbi and says, "Bamed v'mamura makes sense to say the yafni mishah keneged kulo. That makes sense when you're dealing with the kli cheres." But if you're dealing with a kli nechoshes, a kli barzel, a kli mateches, a metal kli that can be kashered, then all bets are off. Then there's no need to be mishayar b'kulo. You can be mishayar connected to the bleas itself. How do you know that you're being mishayar connected to the bleas properly? So the rabbi gives you very, very careful directions. He says, what do you have to do? The omid yofeh, very, very carefully. The ayin yofeh, you have to look really carefully, figure it out properly. And then the Ravid says that I have this on good authority, that this is okay. But as long as it's not a klicheres, everything is good. V'chein hayra l'maise. V'nezam epi ha'shmo epi ha'rav Yosef ben Palatzal. The Ravid says the Rav Yosef ben Palat, one of the Gedolei HaRishonim from before the days of the Ravid. The Ravid goes off to the Rav ben Palat, who was a contemporary of the Ravid, who said that halach l'maise in kash, you can be mishar, can neged the bleas, as long as it's a kasherable pot. I can't do it right. So the Ramban is startled by this Ravid and the Rebbe ben Palat. Why is he startled? What's bothering the Ramban about this? What's the problem with this? Why did the Gemara say you have to mishar, can neged the whole chal? What was the problem? Because you have no idea. So what's the Rebbe ben Palat, what's the Ravid saying? No, sometimes you know and sometimes you don't know. If it's a klicheres, you don't know. If it's a klimateches, you do know. This is retarded. What in the world does the ability to cash in the pot, how does that impact on your knowledge or lack thereof, how many bleas are in there? The rabbi is pili-ploim. The Ramban says he doesn't know what he's talking about. He says that, Mikemish Ombi Gemara, the even my dinaf of name, me I didn't come a half below ear tamacha, in Hefesh, the Chilip, the Shein, Mishar, and Alabon. Says the Ramban, he says he doesn't understand what he's talking about. You want to tell me, like a Rabbi Yeshaya, that you can always figure out how to be Mishar. That's a cinch. Anyone can figure out how to do it. And Kal's not like a Kli. So the Ramban personally thinks it's wrong, but at least I can hear it. The Ramban says that I believe, like it says in the Gemara, you can never be Mishar properly, and therefore everything is also. Like we've said multiple times, extreme positions are very easy. The Ramban's extreme view, he's the biggest machmor in the sugya, it's very easy to understand. You can never ever be Mishar properly. Everything under the sun is like Kal. So therefore, the Tech, you suffer, you have to be Mishar Kenegad Kulah. The Rabbi Yeshayahu said, it's not true. You can be Mishar Kenegad Bliyos. It's easy to do. Run a test. We'll teach you how to do it in the chemistry lab. Don't make Kal as a quirk. But all Kalim you can. Rabbi Yeshayahu is easily understandable. We have three great riots. We refuted all three of them. But at least the sheet that conceptually makes sense. So the extreme views in life are easy to understand. The Raibin is walking a tightrope. The Raibin, the Rebbe Palat, don't make any sense. What do you mean? Either the Ramban's math is right or the Ben Shai's math is right. How could the math be right for one by Klicheris and wrong by Klimatechas? The whole thing doesn't make any sense. No, everyone saw this Ramban's kasha?
The answer.
What?
The answers.
Who answers?
The Ramban.
He answers for the Raibin?
So you say if it's a Klicheris, then you can. No.
Kli Chadash is a whole other story. It's a whole other ball game here. Kli Chadash, Rabban says sometimes we even can tell if we know for a fact how much book was in there. That's the whole next year. That's tomorrow's year. I'm just still trying to figure out where this Raivin or even Palat fit into this picture. So the greatest scheme of things, I understand the Ramban's theory, his equations. This I understand. This is Ramban. This is right out of the world of Ramban. This I got. This is right out of the world of Rabban Yishai. Again. Whether I like them or not, don't like them, I got it. Conceptualized, I got it. The Raivid, that Cheres, Amateches, everything's hunky dory. I have only one thing to say. Where's this coming from? Based on who? Based on what? Based on what? So hopefully, tomorrow we have to try to come back to understand the Shita and then begin to build, as Zach was referring to, the second half of the Ramban, where even the Ramban, the biggest Machmir, is going to begin to concede to us that sometimes there is a way for the Yishai believes properly, and that's going to open up a whole new world that's going to bring us back to our favorite topics of Chetika Nasas Navela. We got a lot. We have not even begun to scratch the surface of the Sugya, as I say. So we got a long way to go in terms of understanding the intricacies of the Shem. Tomorrow we'll pick it up.
Thank you.
Right?
Yes. Thank you.